The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, but nothing perfect or considered.
America, bonjour, hi, candidate Hugh Hewitt. So good to have you with me on this June the 22nd, 2020, in the year of the plague. The big story of the weekend was Donald Trump held a rally. 4 million people watched on television online. That does not include television. 4 million online. And only 6,000 people showed up in person. And so if you watch MSNBC on Sunday, you would think the Trump campaign is in collapse. I did Al Sharpton's show yesterday twice. I had to laugh. People are making judgments that they don't want to go inside. Now, Team Trump needs to figure out they got to go outside. They got to go outside to small college football stadiums and high schools and tarmacs. And I'll be writing it up later in the day. But the idea that the rally is somehow signifies anything having to do with the race is not true. And Joe Biden can't stay in the basement forever. For those who watched the rally online, they got vintage Trump. Vintage Trump. I want you to hear a little bit of the message that will be refined going into the election. For the rundown, let's just begin with Donald Trump, and let's begin with cut number 31 on the choice in front of America in 2020.
Looting broke out in our nation's capital. I very quickly deployed the National Guard. I said, get them in, after watching for an evening or two. We stopped the violence and restored peace and order to the streets. And last night, they had a little breakout again. They ripped down a statue that was 110 years old, beautiful piece of art, in front of the police precinct with our radical left mayor watching on television. We're not happy. That's going to be very expensive for D.C. They're always looking for money. We need more money. We always need more money. And then they don't do the proper job. So it's not going to be good for Mayor Bowser. Mayor Bowser. They were heading over to the Jefferson Memorial recently. And they wanted to do damage to our great, beautiful Jefferson Memorial. Not going to happen. Don't worry about it. We have it surrounded with very strong people. The choice in 220 is very simple. Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob, or do you want to stand up tall and proud as Americans?
That is it. Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob? Can we shorten that cut up and keep it? Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob or stand tall before Americans? President Trump, by the way, is running for the black vote. He's not running away from it. He's running right at it. Cut number 32.
Virtually every policy that has hurt black Americans for half a century, Joe Biden has supported or enacted. I've done more for the black community in 4 years than Joe Biden has done in 47 years. Racial justice begins with Joe Biden's retirement from public life.
He is not going to shy away from this conversation, and he talks about Joe Biden being a puppet of the radical left. Cut number 34.
Joe Biden is not the leader of his party. Joe Biden is a helpless puppet of the radical left. And he's not radical left. I don't think he knows what he is anymore. But he was never radical left. But he's controlled by the radical left. And now he's really controlled. His campaign staff even donated a lot of money to bail out rioters, looters, and arsonists who ravaged Minneapolis. They bailed them out. They put up a lot of money to bail them out, the rioters, the looters. And they were the arsonists. So they'll say, oh, it's terrible what he says about the people of our nation. Maybe some of them aren't even from our nation. The left is trying to do everything they can to stop us. Every hour of every day, including even violence and mayhem, they'll do anything they can to stop us. Look what happened tonight. Look at what happened tonight. Law enforcement said, sir, they can't be outside. It's too dangerous. We had a bunch of maniacs come and sort of attack our city. The mayor and the governor did a great job, but they were very violent people. And our people are not nearly as violent, but if they ever were, it would be a terrible, terrible day for the other side. Because I know our people. I know our people. But we will never submit to their threats, and we will never let them destroy our nation.
He went on to talk, again, back to the theme of Joe Biden is a front man, cut number 27.
Biden is a very willing Trojan horse for socialism. When Biden first ran for president over 33 years ago, remember I used to call him 1% Joe? He never got more than 1%. Until Obama took him off the trash heap. But he blatantly copied the speech of a British politician, even ripping off the man's personal biography and family history and claiming it was his own. He forgot to say he was born in America.
He's not going to let Joe Biden have an easy one of it. Two more cuts, 35 and 36. This is the summing up of the campaign. It's what I told Al Sharpton. It's going to be the entire campaign, and we're going to hear it 100 times because it is the choice. Cut number 35.
Republicans are the party of liberty, equality, and justice for all. We are the party of Abraham Lincoln, and we are the party of law and order.
Liberty and equality and justice for all. We are the party of Abraham Lincoln and law and order. Then he said this, cut number 36.
I stand before you today to declare the silent majority is stronger than ever before. Please. 5 months from now, we're going to defeat sleepy Joe Biden. Boy, does he get a pass from these people, huh? We're going to stop the radical left. We're going to build a future of safety and opportunity for Americans of every race, color, religion, and creed.
He underscored this, cut number 26. Who is going to be deciding domestic policy for the Democrats? Cut 26.
Wise Representative Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is going to be very much involved in a Biden government. They will put this hate-filled, America-bashing socialist front and center in deciding the fate of your family and deciding the fate of your country. I don't think so.
So go back to cut 36. I want you to hear. This is the key cut from Saturday Night's Rally in Tulsa. Cut number 36.
I stand before you today to declare the silent majority is stronger than ever before. Please. 5 months from now, we're going to defeat sleepy Joe Biden. Boy, does he get a pass from these people, huh?
Yes, he does get a pass. But the key is they're counting on the silent majority. And I believe that the silent majority in the red states is definitely there. I think the red states are getting redder. The blue states are getting bluer. It's going to be a divisive campaign, but attendance at a rally is not a signifier of anything. That's the rundown for the day, the key parts of the Trump rally. Phil Barr was on Fox with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Let's talk about that as well. Stay tuned, America.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads.
Welcome back, America. Chew Hewitt on a Monday. Welcome. I hope you had a great Father's Day. I did. Bill Barr spent his Father's Day on Fox News in the morning with Maria Bartiromo. And the reason he did so, of course, is because of a tempest in a teapot. The firing of the fella in New York, the Southern District of New York U.S. attorney, of exactly zero consequence to 99.99% of Americans. I'm just giving you the reality here. Here's the real story, which you did not hear from Blue Bubble Media yesterday. Turns out Jay Clayton is leaving the SEC. That's another name you don't know. But he's highly esteemed for his work at the Securities and Exchange Commission. And Team Trump wants him around for the second term. He said, Jay, what job do you want? He said, well, the only job I really want is the Southern District of New York. That is the job that Rudy Giuliani used to catapult himself to become the mayor of New York. And so I always look at it as the job that future mayors want if they're Republicans. So Jay Clayton is very highly esteemed. The president wants him to have that job. Bill Barr flies up to see the acting guy. You've never heard of Berman, right? No one out there listening has heard of Berman. And he's not very well liked by anybody, and he's completely anonymous to most people. And Bill Berman is the acting, has been the acting, and Bill Barr is his boss. Bill says, we're going to make a switch here, and I'm going to put in I'm going to nominate Jay Clayton. I'm going to put in the U.S. attorney from New Jersey to run your job. Would you like to be the head of the civil division, which is a good job, very big job? He said, no, I want this job. Well, you don't have to get to have this job. So Berman puffed up his chest and said, I'm not going. He was gone the next day, fired, because all 93 U.S. attorneys work for the attorney general. They actually work for the president, but he's delegated the authority over them to the attorney general. And out of that, we got a whole day of the Bill Barr was lying. The president was lying. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. It's just absolute, complete and utter nonsense. I speak as a veteran of the Department of Justice. U.S. attorneys work for the president. He can fire them at any time. He cannot hire anyone he wants because you've got to have Senate confirmation. But he can always remove a U.S. attorney or an acting U.S. attorney. You can always do that. Any day. President Obama did it. President Bush did it. Before him, President Clinton did it. Why? They are part of the executive branch. The president runs the executive branch. I can't believe people don't get this. Now, the key part yesterday, all right, is what Bill Barr had to say about the Obama administration's approach to law and order and the Durham investigation of Marie Bartiromo. Let's begin with cut number 18, talking Bill Barr looking backwards at Team Obama. Cut number 18.
Well, I do believe there were two standards of justice during a period of time toward the end of the Obama administration. And all I can do about it is apply one standard of justice, the right standard of justice, and make sure we apply it to everybody equally. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Are you looking again then at what took place with the Hillary Clinton investigation?
I don't want to get into any particular investigation right now.
Why did the DOJ charge General Michael Flynn with false statements, yet did not charge Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe with the same charge?
Well, again, all I can say, I don't want to discuss the details of any particular case, but criminal case, but all I can say is that we are trying to apply the same standard to everybody. And as you know, we have sought to dismiss the charges against General Flynn.
One standard. The rule of law requires one standard for everyone. What is John Durham? The only U.S. attorney, not this Berman character, the only U.S. attorney anybody in the United States knows anything about is John Durham. What's he up to? Cut 17.
Well, first, I agree with you. It's been stunning that all we've gotten from the mainstream media is sort of bovine silence in the face of the complete collapse of the so-called Russiagate scandal, which they did all they could to sensationalize and drive. And it's like not even a whoops, they just on to the next false scandal.
Stop right there. We're going to come back to this. Bovine silence is going to be one of my can we just get that word on my computer, bovine silence? That's for when I ask someone a tough question and they don't know what to say. I'm just going to hit bovine silence. We'll come back for the rest of that answer about John Durham. Don't forget, HughForHeritage.com. If you want to find out what we'll be talking about tomorrow, what we talked about last week in the Heritage Hour, which is tomorrow, you go to HughForHeritage.com, and then you come right back here. I'll check the markets over the weekend as well and what's going on in Japan and China today and Germany and England before the morning trading gets underway. And I never predict the markets today. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of America.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Thanks so much for listening on this Monday morning. I am frustrated by one thing in the United States. We cannot figure out the risk of infection. We just can't. Like the CDC has collapsed. I give you the New York Times this morning. Across the United States, the number of new infections has steadily risen during the past 5 days after plateauing for the previous 80 days. At the same time, overall deaths have dropped dramatically. The 14-day average was down 42% of Saturday. Now, I don't know how to interpret that. I'm not an epidemiologist, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn. My guess is that the virus is widespread. It has found and killed the people most vulnerable to it. It was always going to do so because we don't have any effective therapeutic for people with the compromised systems. And those who are fragile and vulnerable to the virus are getting out of harm's way. And that generally, we know who's vulnerable. The obese, people with heart disease, and people who are older than 75. There is some risk above 65. I'm 64. I don't think I'm at risk. I'm going to run 8 miles after the show today, and maybe it'll get me. I've got asthma. I have no desire to be in a closed space with people who are coughing at me. I don't want to get it. But if I do get it, I don't think I'll die. And I knock on wood. Hope that's the case. Pray that's the case. But I think generally public health authorities won't tell us anything worth knowing. I think every pool in America should be open and they should tell people who are 50 years or older to stay away. And don't come to the pool if you're a kid, if you're living with grandma and she's fragile. I mean, these are common. This is what America has intuited. So I think President Trump's rallies will succeed if they're outdoors. I don't know how they missed this. Why did the mass demonstrations happen? Because they're outdoor and we've kind of intuited if you're outdoors, the virus is not going to get you, especially if you're wearing a mask. So come one, come all to the Trump rallies, put on a mask and do it in high school stadiums, small college stadiums, put up a jumbotron, have some fun. The president's a little bit rusty, but he hasn't lost much of a step. And so Al Sharpton said, "What are you alarmed?" I said, no, this election is going to be decided on jobs, jobs, jobs. So where is the economy in September? What's the trajectory? Donald Trump rebuilt the Obama economy, which was a disaster. They all say, oh, Obama inherited Bush. We had a panic in 2008. It wasn't Bush's fault. It was the housing bubble brought it all down, all the crazy Wall Street securitization of stuff, Fannie Mae, Freddie, the whole nine yards. We don't have to rehearse that. Either you believe it or you don't. It's true. So we had a panic. The panic caused the collapse. The collapse took a long time to rebuild. But the Obama-Biden regulatory state crushed initiative. The reason the economy was cooking prior to the importation of the virus from China was because the regulatory rollback combined with the tax cuts, it was working. You want everybody to be employed again. Do you want full employment again? You'll vote for Trump. If you don't want full employment, if you'd rather have the radical left running your life, you'll vote for Biden. It's a pretty simple choice. What do markets think this morning? I think markets think Trump's going to win. That's why I think markets have been doing so well. This is brought to you by Birch Gold, by the way. The website for Birch Gold is HughGold.com. You can text my name, Hugh, to 474747 to find out how to roll over a portion of your IRA into physical metals, gold and silver. This morning, gold is trading at $1,758. It's up a third of a percent. $1,758, I always remind you, when I first started telling you to diversify, it was at $1,400. 20% gain looks pretty good about now, doesn't it, after the last 5 months we've had. Gold is not guaranteed to always go up. What it's guaranteed to do is never collapse. It'll go down, but it'll never collapse. It'll go up and down. It's just a solid basis on which to build 10 to 20% of your portfolio. Not very hard to do. The folks at BirchGold.com are great pros. They have terrific ratings. They're highly rated by the Better Business Bureau. Lots of five-star reviews. To get your free information kit, send my name, Hugh, to 474747 via text or go to HughGold.com. Friday was a mixed market on the Dow. The Dow was down 208. The NASDAQ was up 3, and the S&P was down 17. Abroad today, everything's down a little bit. Japan was down 0.18%. Hong Kong was off 0.5%. England is trading at just at the line. They don't know what to do. Same with Germany. They don't know what to do. Light crude, though, is up to almost $40 a barrel, which is good. That's very good. And the 10-year Treasury is at 0.7%. That's stable. The markets are arranging themselves. They would like to see what's in phase four of the rescue bills, but that's not going to be until July, so people have to get ready for a little bit of uncertainty. Do you want to know how to reopen your business? That's where our friends at the Job Creators Network come in. Flattenthefear.com. Can you remember that? Flattenthefear.com. That's where you go to find out exactly what is the risk in your state, in your county, in your region. Flattenthefear.com attempts to take, I mean, the CDC has just done a horrible job. I read their press releases whenever they put one out, and it's just hokum pokum. Tony Fauci disappeared. Dr. Birx has disappeared. Nobody knows what to say after those rallies because the virus went everywhere. After the mass demonstrations following the murder of George Floyd, the rallies, it just blew public health. We went with herd immunity. And we're going with herd. And when I went from running on empty streets and trying to figure out how to run with a mask. And no one wears a mask anymore. Everyone's kind of intuitive. If you're outside, you're okay. People are eating outside. Servers have got their masks on. That's where we are. We're going to try that now because we want to go back to work and we don't want the economy to be at 14% unemployment. So that's where we are. Flattenthefear.com will give you the best information going. Can I go back? I want to play Bill Barr talking about John Durham and what he's up to. The U.S. attorney in New York, he got more press over the weekend because he got canned by Bill Barr, which is his job. Bill Barr is a great attorney general, a terrific attorney general. And he'll be here for 5 years under Donald Trump if Trump wins re-election. Just get used to him. They're trying to demonize him for one simple reason. If Durham brings indictments, they're going to try and discredit the indictments by discrediting Barb, who will then they'll attempt to discredit Durham. All right, that's all what this is about. But I know their mind games. You know their mind game. It's just silly. It's just the silliest blue bubble propaganda. Bill Barr patiently explains cut number 17.
Well, first, I agree with you. It's been stunning that all we've gotten from the mainstream media is sort of bovine silence in the face of the complete collapse of the so-called Russiagate scandal, which they did all they could to sensationalize and drive. And it's like not even a whoops. They just on to the next false scandal. So that has been surprising to me that people aren't concerned about civil liberties and in the integrity of our governmental process. In terms of the future of Durham's investigation, you know, he's pressing ahead as hard as he can, and I expect that, you know, we will have some developments hopefully before the end of the summer. But as I've said, his investigation will continue. It's not going to stop because of the election. What happens after the election may depend on who wins the election.
Has he been delayed because of the COVID-19 pandemic?
There has been delay because of the pandemic. Yes, there has.
An inability to interview people?
Yes. Not an inability, but a distinct slowing down of that process.
Because you can't gather a grand jury?
Well, I don't want to suggest there has been or is a grand jury, but...
Stop! Great question, Maria Bartiromo. Tried to get one past A.G. Barr. Now, you're not getting past the Buffalo. That's his nickname at DOJ. We used to call him Honey Badger, but he's the Buffalo. You're not going to get around the Buffalo. Have you not watched Yellowstone? Do you not listen to C.J. Box?
Now, C.J. Box refuses to admit that the Buffalo are leaving Yellowstone in great numbers because they know what's going on. But Bill Barr, Buffalo Bill Barr, you're not getting around him. So Maria Bartiromo tried to sneak in. You know, the grand jury can't get together, and Barr's not having any of it. I thought that was funny. But Bill Barr also talked about, this is important. Listen to cut 16, the Russia hoax, the Russia probe. Barr lays it out, cut number 16.
In this sense, I think it is the closest we have come to an organized effort to push a president out of office.
And it continues.
But I'm not reaching a judgment as to what the motivations there were.
Can you tell us anything about how this all started? This is not just an American citizen. This was a man running for president, and this was a person who got elected to become the president. And the FBI thought it was a good idea to launch an investigation into Donald Trump and potential collusion. Why?
You know, I guess I don't want to talk about that. Some of it may become evident, you know, as the more facts are disclosed. But I think there's probably a range of motives for different people.
But is there any evidence that, in fact, it was appropriate to launch an investigation other than a conversation in a bar? I know that George Papadopoulos had a conversation in a bar.
That is the official version of what happened. That comment in a London wine bar was what the basis really was for going forward. And I've said that I thought that was a very slender reed to get law enforcement and intelligence agencies involved in investigating the campaign of one's political opponent.
It's a slender read. Unbelievable. You know, Bill Barr is being understated here. He must be very confident about what Durham is doing. He made one point, though, about the Steele dossier, which just drives the David Corns of the world crazy, and why you can't believe any of major media. They won't admit this. He said, poof, it's a bovine silence from the media. Cut number 15, talking about the Steele dossier.
Again, I don't want to get into the details because those are the kinds of things we're looking at, but that whole vignette is laid out to some extent in the IG's report that in January 2017 and in March 2017, they talked to the primary subsource, who was the sole conduit for this information that made up the dossier. And as I've said, the dossier pretty much collapsed at that point. And yet they continued to use it as a basis for pursuing this counterintelligence investigation.
So does it
collapsed.
Sound-
All you need, it collapsed. Boy, I can't wait to read what Durham has to say if he comes up with indictments. One last thing I want you to hear the Attorney General say about systemic racism. Cut number 9.
No, I don't think there's a systemic. Well, I do think there's racism in the country. Now, systemic in terms of the law enforcement and the police agencies, I don't think there is systemic law enforcement in those agencies. I think there may be individuals, and there are individuals who you know, may have bias, and sometimes that may emerge and be manifested in some act. But I don't think it's systemic.
I ask because there's something, you know, there are bad cops, and then there's just a system that maybe has things that are built into it that should be looked at. For example, if a white kid gets caught underage drinking, the parents are going to do anything they can to avoid that conviction on the kid's record that will follow him and he'll carry the rest of his life. So they'll do diversion program. Are we offering the same diversion programs to blacks and whites?
In some jurisdictions, yes. In some, probably not as much as we should. As I said, this is a process of reforming our institutions, looking for inequities and making sure that we address them.
That is Bill Barr at his best. More of that next hour. Come right back. Selena Zito is next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Good Monday morning to you. Time for the Yinzer Report with Selena Zito, America's favorite Yinzer. You can follow her at her website, selenazito.com. Even a Steelers fan can spell Selena Zito. There are a lot of vowels, but it's selenazito.com. Selena, how do people get, you write for the Wall Street Journal, you write for the Washington Examiner, you write for the New York Post. How do people get everything that you write?
They can go to selenazito.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-Z-I-T-O. And you can sign up for my emails. They're free, they're fun, and they're not fattening, and I don't overload your email box, but you can follow my work across the country.
You know, if we call you Selena Zito-E, we could get all the vowels in. Have you thought about that? Then you could be a teaching assistant to, you know, the ninth graders learning how to construct sentence structure and look for vowels. But we need to add a Y. So it could be Selena E. Zito or Selena Zito-E.
Yeah. I'm so confused now. I don't even know what my name is.
A-E-I-O-U. No, there's no U in Selena Zito.
There's no U. There's an E, but there's no U.
Dwayne told me to use that line, and he was wrong. I'm sorry about that. Selena, yesterday at MSNBC, everybody talked all day long about how disappointing the Tulsa rally was. I just thought it was so funny. The blue bubble is so thick. What is the significance of 6,000 people in Tulsa versus the expectations of 60,000 or 100,000? What is the electoral significance of that?
Nothing.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. It was in a held a state that's already going to go red. It really doesn't have significance. I think that the people that were claiming that they did some shenanigans to impact it and they couldn't help themselves but brag about it only sort of intensified the support for Trump and intensified that sort of feeling that, you know, it's us against them. There is no impact whatsoever. And I will say this. I stay in constant contact with a lot of the people that I interview, in particular the people that are on the fence, because those are the ones the most important, I think. And they love his speech. They absolutely love his speech.
That's it. The 4 million people who watched online, and I only talked to two of them, maybe three of them. They loved it. I did not see it myself. They loved it. I had read someplace he was rusty, but evidently the West Point line got a big laugh. But here's my point, Selena. I'm writing a piece for the Washington Post. The idea that it has significance beyond the fact that people are afraid of COVID is simply not true. I think you're not going to get the numbers in an indoor arena. I think they have to go outdoor. And I just think they've got to go to small college stadiums and high school football stadiums and outdoor venues because they're not going to get people inside because that's what I've intuited about COVID, which is you don't want to be inside with a bunch of people. What have you intuited about COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. I think outside venues are completely the route to go. I think people feel safer. They feel more comfortable. Their understanding is that the spread is less likely. And you know, you can do outdoor events all the way up until election day and not be impacted by the weather. It's very rare that it's going to snow to the point or be as cold to the point by November 3rd that it would be prohibitive. And one of the things I think is important to note, you, is that I'm watching the reporters and how they're reacting to Trump's speech. And I just thinking, y'all just don't get it still. They're talking about, oh my God, did you see he actually drank water? Oh my God, did you see that he talked about the ramp? Oh my God, I can't believe that he did that. It's theater. That's what he does. After 5 years of watching him on the stage, you would think that they would finally understand.
Selena, let me underscore how right you are. They obsessed on his saying, I told my people stop the testing. Everybody in America not affiliated with an infotainment cable news network understood that as a joke. Everybody.
Yes, it's a joke. And, you know, I got a text from one of the people that is sitting on the fence and said, we need to laugh. We haven't laughed for so long. That was funny. And it made me laugh, and I enjoyed it. And I thought, you're right. I mean, the way to understand how a speech is important or if it isn't important, talk to the people who are on the fence. Talk to the people that like policies but don't like his personality. Talk to the people who don't like him at all but have been positively impacted, because you're going to go to the voting booth based on how your pocketbook is and or how your community is doing, not how a reporter that lives in D.C. or New York thinks that you're correct.
Job, job, job. You talked to Ivanka last week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. She came
where
to Pittsburgh.
Where do people read? Where do they read about that?
SalinaZito.com, SalenaZito. All my stories are there. You can. I'm heading out to interview the small business administrator today in West Virginia. Talk to her in Harrisburg over the weekend. Taking a look at her working across the aisle with different senators and different members of the House and different small businesses, in particular minority businesses, and how they're working.
Keep pushing on, Selena Zito, and everybody go sign up for her newsletter. Best one to come in your mail's box, SelenaZito.com. Stay tuned, America.